Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. Hello, a good evening and welcome to Abbey Daily with me, Abby Roberts. It's Monday the 25th of March 2024 and my voice is fucked. I sound like Judi Dench and Bonnie Tyler mixed together. Total eclipse of the heart. Total eclipse of the voice. Where's my fucking voice gone? And it's because it's gone because I've just spent the weekend in Kegworth talking a lot, smoking a little bit, naughty, naughty, drinking, and generally having the best fucking time ever. Why Kegworth, you ask? Well, why indeed? It's amazing how some places, they take on a kind of magical, mythical quality about them. And it's not necessarily to do with the place, but the people that congregate there. And this weekend was the Comcast Live, which is hosted by, all set up by Pushback AV, which is the Comcast Live guys, aided by the wonderful Charlotte Baroness of Burnley, Wayne. So the boys, the Comcast boys, the Pushback AV are Nick and Steve and Carl. And honestly, it's just, oh my God, I can't tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you. You know when people go, I can't tell you how great it was. And I can hear you going, well, you better tell us how great it was. Otherwise, it'll be a very, very short podcast. But sorry for my voice. And I am absolutely fucked. I haven't been this tired in a long time, but for the right reasons, you know, just everything, so much happened and so much good stuff came out of it. So it's a kind of nice tiredness as opposed to I'm tired, but actually nothing's happened, you know, nothing's been done. So Friday evening. Oh yeah. And first of all to say, yeah, sorry, there was a little bit of a break, for Abbey Daily, but that's just because of, you know, the TNT stuff. And I was just like letting the dust settle. But anyway, here I am, it's back. And thank you for sticking with me as always. And also thank you for a lot of new subscribers. So very grateful and thank you for just joining the, you know, listening in and hearing stuff that I've got to say and obviously other people's comments and all the rest of it. So God bless you all. Thank you. So Friday lunchtime, I get the train to East Midlands Parkway. I know everyone's going, where the fuck is that? All I can say, well, East Midlands, and the landmark is cooling towers that just look very dystopian. The kind of thing you get in a thriller. It's like, oh yes, can you see the cooling towers yet? Or like, I'll meet you by the cooling towers. Okay, Roger, over and out. And then, you know, you go and meet someone by the cooling towers and then you're just kind of like in the shadows of the cooling towers. Anyway, have a look at the photos and you'll see what I mean. It's really weird. And also you can hear water flowing through them, which is kind of relaxing, but also quite scary at the same time, like a horror film. But it's a fascinating place. Obviously, middle of the country. And on the train, I met Nick Cotton. Well, I knew he was going to be on there. We were sitting next to each other, so that was nice. My mate Nick, and not that, as we were kind of, well, that was it. There were two people in our seats, two youngsters. And you know what was so funny? We were so sort of laid back that we just stood there. Well, I stood there, and these two people were like, oh, but are we in, are we in your seat? And I was like, I think so, yeah. I don't really know. And it was one of those things where no one really cared. You know, to be honest with you, I was so, like, just happy to be on the train and seeing Nick and going to Kegworth. I didn't really give a shit. Could have stood all the way there. But anyway, then eventually this very nice lady that was sitting behind someone else said, oh, because I'm on my own, so I'll sit there and then you two sit here where I, you know, in my two seats. So anyway, me and Nick sat there, had chatted for Britain. But the weird thing was, and I'm actually really glad I saw him, a few seats ahead on the other side was, because as I was standing up and sort of just chatting to these two young people, youngsters, this guy went, oh, well, there's a seat next to me if you want. And I went, oh, thanks. Oh, no, it's okay, don't worry, because I'm sitting with my mate. And I went, are you a stand-up? And he went, yeah. And I went, oh, yeah, so I'm Abby Roberts. And I said, we worked together. And he went, oh, yes, of course. And I said, and you're, and he went, Paul Pirrie. I was like, fucking hell, Paul Pirrie, Scottish comedian. Really, really weird. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, a little bit of chit-chat, a little bit of, and he was funny because he said, where are you off to? And I was like, well, it's a long story. Because you don't know where people are in the, in their sort of journey, as it were. I mean, if they're on any journey at all, maybe they're not, but that sort of thing, like how much do they know, well, about what's happened with me as well. You know, you kind of think, you might have thought, oh, fucking hell, is that the one that got arrested? Stupid cow. But I get the impression, he is quite savvy. I could be wrong. We didn't really have long enough to talk about it. But a very, very funny comedian, very funny. And so that was nice. You know, I haven't seen him for 7 years. 7 years. I think I was with Terry the last time I saw him doing a gig. I think maybe it was Bearcat Comedy or something. But again, very nice just to make that connection, you know, just to say, oh, hi, mate. Oh, lovely to see you, blah, blah, blah. And then me and Nick sat down and literally were like, there were two people sitting in front of us and they went, oh, where are you off to? And I said, well, we're off to, you know, basically try and bring down the government, but in a kind of slightly gentle way and to do with free speech and justice. You know, we're not going to stick ourselves to the fucking road. This. And it was really funny because, you know, you kind of get the impression that people are grateful, even if they've been a bit normified and a bit kind of like, oh, whatever, yeah. That actually they are quite grateful to people who were saying things that are long overdue. Anyway, cut a long story short, let's get the travel out of the way. So we got, the train pulled in the station. Hello, East Midlands. And there are the cooling towers. Dee, dee, dee. Rising out of the ground, the cooling towers of East Midlands Parkway. And David Newman, lovely David Newman, is waiting for Nick Cotton. And then Johnny Woodrow is waiting for me because guess what? We're off to record his first podcast for Stop It, You're Killing Me. And which we duly did. So I'd met Johnny before at the David Icke event, the Delling Pod with David Icke. So I'd met him briefly there. And then this was like, oh, proper hello, you know, without anyone kind of milling around and whatever, all those, you know, when it's kind of like a little bit, you just meet someone briefly and then someone else appears. So this was basically like me and Johnny meeting properly. And then he drove me to, it was a place about 20 minutes away, which was a barn, basically. He'd pre-ordered bacon sandwiches, one with brie and cranberry in it. Oh, my God, with salad and crisps. Honest to God, I felt like a princess. I felt like a queen treated by the wonderful Johnny Woodrow. And so we're in this barn, which was kind of, you know, people were having tea, little tables, very pretty, fairy lights. I mean, really, you know, that sort of gorgeous barn, but kind of on a farm where people can go and it's this lovely atmosphere and, you know, buy a bit of cake or whatever, sandwiches, whatever. And the silver pound, I think that's right, isn't it, is spent quite a lot there. People, you know, of a certain age, shall we say, just getting together for a little cup of tea and a little bit of a natter. Oh, you know, Jean down the road. Jean, yes. She's a funny one, isn't she? Very, 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 very funny, yes. You know, I was talking to her about Strictly Come Dancing the other day and she said, oh, I've never seen it. Yes, you have, Jean, you have seen it. It's the people dancing, you know, dancing on the, you know, on the stage with that woman, you know, what's her name, Tess. Tess, you know, Tess Daly, with the funny arms that always stick to her side, that one. And the one with the fringe that's far too long, covers her eyes, you know, what's her name? Thingy, you know, Claudia Tinklevin. Anyway, that sort of thing. But lovely, you know, but not noisy. I mean, there were people just, you know, it was a little kind of little tinkle and a clatter. And Johnny and I found a table and put the microphone. You know, he did all his stuff. He had his little portable microphone, and we sat with the bacon sarnies and a bacon sarnies. Oh, munch! It was so funny actually, because you can hear in the first bit of the podcast. It's literally like, also, welcome to, and Johnny does his intro, and then it's like, oh, and Abby Roberts. And several times actually both of us having a bit of a chomp down, because I mean that's the beauty of it, you see, beauty of podcast, beauty of live stuff, beauty of everything, is that you don't need any edit, you don't need any really, as long as the microphone, you know, that it's crisp, you know, you have a good sound, you're not overlapping with each other too much, blah blah blah, etc., you know, there's the usual sort of kind of common sense stuff. But essentially, people want warts and all. They want a bit of, I mean, you know, there was a fucking pneumatic drill, like literally, like next to the recording. Then that's never going to work because no one can hear what anyone's saying. But, you know, they people like, I mean, I like the ambience. I like the, sort of, you know, the idea that it's two people sitting at a table talking about all sorts of things that interest them. And in this case, it was comedy, what role comedy plays. It was 2 hours. It was 2 hours. It was a proper Dellingpod type length. And, we spoke about so much. I mean, I won't sort of ruin it for you, but I mean, there was all sorts of places we go, because that's what happens when I talk to Johnny. It's like, it's sort of, we go down roads and paths, and you kind of think, crikey, how do we get down here? And that's just beautiful, you know, because it's really great to have those kind of conversations when you're inspired by somebody. And he's incredibly inspiring, Johnny. He really is. And I look forward very much to doing other stuff with him, other projects, which we've been chatting about, you know, the truth, goodness and beauty. But I'll come back to that either today or on Wednesday for Meaningful Wednesday. So we did the pod and scoffed at the sarnies, and there was a couple of there was a dog in there, and which was nice because they allow dogs. I love that, you know. I love it, you know, when you have a place and sort of, you know, just hear the little, you know, the little tap 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 of the paws, and they sort of look over, and then you know, there's the dog. I don't know. It felt very normal. I mean, no doubt they probably had fucking hand sanitizer all over the fucking shop, and you know, don't stand so close to me. Yeah, they probably had all that, but it just felt like, it's weird actually. Sorry, I'll get back to the Kegworth, but it is weird how one of the things that I fear is that things are going to go back to pretty much normal, apart from the odd relic, and people are going to, they're going to kind of memory hole it and go, oh, really? Did I do that? Oh, is it, did I? Or did I not go near you because you weren't wearing a mask? Or did I not speak to you because you hadn't had a vaccine? Or ridicule you, or call you a selfish bitch, or whatever it was? Oh, I don't remember doing that. Oh, no, that doesn't sound like me. Oh, that's kind of what I fear. But anyway, let's think positively, everyone. Come on. Maybe it's just because it's, you know, I'm a bit knackered, but it did occur to me as I was looking around this wonderful place. So, with the podcast done, and just very up and sort of, you know, when you've done something and you feel very energized, not tired, actually, you feel very, wow, that was a roller coaster, and helps that you are speaking to someone, by the way, like Johnny. If it was someone who wasn't as inspiring or kind of a bit like, so tell me, what as you first get into comedy then, you know, were you a funny child? Did you ever misbehave? It's, you know, those things, which are perfectly valid, you know, legitimate, you know, questions. But, you know, it is, like I said, it's in a different league when it's someone who has a real sort of like vast hinterland, I would call it, of knowledge and things to kind of draw on, but also equally is able to say, oh, I didn't know that about that person. Now that is a rare combination, which Johnny has, where he has this incredible gift for imparting knowledge in a non kind of patronizing way. So he would just sort of say, yeah, because the thing with blah blah, and then in a light way as well. But he'll also say, oh gosh, I didn't know, I hadn't thought about it like that, or I didn't know that, or tell me about that. Very rare. Well, maybe it isn't rare, but I mean, when it happens, you're going to go, fucking hell, great, great combo. So, sorry, just having a little slur, because bloody hell, my voice had fucking sandpaper. So got to the venue, drove to the venue, and so when I got there, so I checked in to Kegworth Hotel and Conference Centre. Honestly, to look at you, it looks like an Alan Partridge. You probably heard me say this last year. It looks like it's Alan Partridge Hotel. Basically, that's kind of what it is. Lynn! And, but there's something magic about it. Trust me. So if you can get a chance to go maybe even later this year, not sure if there's going to be a date, but, you know, we'll obviously, people will be keep you posted. It is just extraordinary. The meeting of minds, the kind of the buzz, the sort of energy. It is, yeah, I can't put it, you know, any better than that. So first thing is Phil Zimmerman, who was due to be the MC for the whole weekend, he'd missed a couple of trains and they didn't think he was going to get there on Friday night. So I offered to MC. And who was there when we get there? So obviously Nick Cotton was already there. Charlotte was there. Wayne was there. I'm not sure if David Curtin had arrived by that point. Maybe he had. Miri, because I mean, it was Friday and Saturday, you see, so it was like spread over. There was a sort of few people spread over. Intel Lady, very good comedy, character comedy act, Jen, she was there. Oh, Wilson Milton. I was calling Wilton Milson, for fuck's sake. He was that very good comic. And I haven't seen him for, so he was the comic on the Friday night, other comic on the Friday night, but I was emceeing, you see, with lots of, you know, different things going on. So it wasn't like a stand-up night, you know, where you go, right, MC, 20 minutes, break, another 20 minutes, then a break and another, you know, maybe 25 minutes for the headliner, or, you know, a variety therein where it's comedy. It's very much a kind of a mix of stuff. So when the night kicked off, it was so me doing the, so it's about 8 o'clock it kicked off on Friday night, after I'd said sort of hello to a few people and a few people that were there. And by the way, sorry if you're listening and if I forget names and I forget, honestly, it was like, it's a whirlwind, because you're kind of thinking, oh, what have I got to do later? All right, okay, I've got to do that, then I've got to do that. And also there was a podcast room, I forgot to say, where I was, I think I did 6 podcasts over the Friday and Saturday. Oh, did I do one on Sunday? No, I think I did. No, did I? Do you know, I actually can't remember. It's honestly, it was like a like, just wind me up and let me go. So started at 8, and so I did a little bit of opening stuff. Oh, I came on to Boney M, Ra Ra Rasputin, because in fact that's the music I used for my Russia show, Anglichanka. And honestly, I Cossack danced pretty much down the aisle. And then when I got onto the stage, I did another, you know, like a, you know, when they go right down, I was like, oh, jeez, I couldn't get up. My thighs like, fucking hell. Which, of course, caused much hilarity in the room with a slightly, shall we say, chubby lass, a portly lass, not being able to get up because they've done a, they're in mid Cossack. is never not funny, basically. But there was really good fun emceeing and doing that. You know, and I've missed that. You know, I've used to do I emceed a hell of a lot, hosted a lot of big clubs. And yeah, I love it. I mean, it's quite the same as doing a set, because like when you're doing a set, you know, you're introduced on and you go, blah, blah, hello, you know, and it's your time. It's your 20 minutes. It's no one else's. You can do what the fuck you want. You can do your, you know, bits of your show. You can do your new jokes. You can do blah, blah, blah. MC is slightly different in the sense that, you know, you need to set them up, people up for comedy if it's a comedy night. But you need to be very, very aware that of the time, and that there's a schedule to stick to. So when I first emceed, I mean, I learned an awful lot on the job, which is basically, if you don't have a watch, you kind of get an inbuilt time though with things as well. You know, because also you've got acts to get on. They may have to go off and get to another gig. So, I mean, if you start to do your entire Edinburgh show as an host, and this is what people who haven't done comedy clubs or haven't emceed comedy, and when I say MC, I mean comedy nights, as in strictly, you know, like club comedy nights, is that you, very often people are doubling up. You know, they might have to get somewhere else to do stuff. And also things like, is the room getting tired? Obviously not at the start of a night, but certainly as it goes on. So you've got to be aware that there's a structure to it. There is rules to being an MC. So for instance, you might, you can start off with a gag. You can start off with, you know, you've got to get everyone kind of in the right mood. So the whole room, and then, do a tiny bit of material, but really you're getting to know the room. You're getting to know the people in the room, and then you're preparing the soil for the first act. So if you think about it as like you're planting a seed, you know, you're really just planting the soil, you know, tilling the soil, and then the first act goes in, the seed, and it's lovely and ready to go. You do not want the first act to come on to fucking frozen ground. That is the rule of being an MC and a host. You are the compère, which means with the father. You're compère, not commère. You're the you're the father of the sort of you know, of the table. You know, like someone's hosting like a dinner. You're at the head of the table saying, does anybody want any more meat or vegetables, or are we okay for wine at the other end? That's your role, and to make sure that the night goes smoothly and everything kind of runs to time and that kind of stuff. And obviously any problems that people have, or any of the acts going, I'm not sure, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. You know, it's like I said, you do it on the job. You know, you learn. God, I've learned so much. Oh, and also from watching people who are really good at it. You know, fucking hell. But it is, like I said, you don't just roll out of bed and go, I'm an MC, whatever. Particularly, I don't know about nights that aren't comedy necessarily. You know, with that kind of, yeah, it's like, because it is like there's unwritten rules to it. It's very, anyway, very strange, but it kind of never leaves you once you've done it enough. You're like, oh yes, this is ringing some bells. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry, waffling on about my fucking, just done a fucking bloody comedy course on down the fucking microphone. Anyway, yes, thank you so much for coming to my MC course. But anyway, it just reminded me, you know, doing it again. So that was after I was on. Then Sonia did a talk show, very good. Sonia Poulton, like in a parky, like she said on her Twitter, parky style. In fact, the music, Parkinson music, even played before, as when I introduced Sonia to the stage. I was like, so she interviewed me first. So We had a very in-depth interview with, you know, chatting about lots of things, TNT, comedy. Had I always been travel, do you know what I mean? Had I always sort of been somebody that, you know, questioned authority or that kind of stuff? But, you know, I think it's all been recorded, so it's all hopefully going to be out there at some stage or in various portions. And then Francis O'Neill came on, and that was great to have Francis O'Neill. We talked a bit about the arrest. Sonia was great because she was guiding all of this, all the questions, all the different bits, of, you know, all the different alleys to go down, paths to go down. And then after that, who was on after that? I can't actually remember. Oh, Scotty. Scotty was there, who is on Twitter. And Scotty, is it Scotty Goes Again, I think is his Twitter handle. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant he is. Honestly, what an amazing mind he's got. Very clear. Everything he says is very crystal clear. So Scotty and Charlotte were on. Nick Cotton was also on with Sonia. So there's like a, you know, variety of people being interviewed, and just very, just fascinating listening to the chat. You know, I think David Curtin was also on with Sonia. The thing is, because I recall going out, I'm pretty sure, to do a podcast, but can I tell you who I did it with? Can I fuck? I genuinely can't remember. So if anyone's listening going, actually, it was me you did it with, that's how busy the weekend was. It was just an absolute maelstrom. Then the night carried on, and then in the second half, I think that was when there was a few other people, and then there was some comedy as well, which was Wilson Milton, who was great. Phil Zimmerman was on as well. Phil Zimmerman was on, and Intel Lady was excellent as well. So I haven't actually got it in front of me the night, but it was very good Friday night. Everyone very relaxed. Jules and Deck were there in the front row. There were all sorts of people. Natalie, Trauma into Truth. Oh no, she came on the Saturday with Elithia and her husband Johnny. Saturday. So it was all kind of like, I mean, imagine this is all happening like all at once, where you go, oh, there's so and so. Oh my God, have I got to be on stage in a second? Oh yeah, hang on a minute, what am I doing? Am I doing a podcast? I don't know. But I mean, I quite like it. I like it like that, where there's so much going on, your mind's brain's, you know, fizzing. So Friday night, I have to confess, I did get to bed at 3:30 in the morning. Bloody hell. Can you imagine? I was like, oh my God. But it was worth it because there was so much chatting and just buzz, and, you know, it was amazing. And yeah, it was just, like I said, you have to be there to get the feel of it, you know, the all the fizzing, freedom fighting, you know, free speech stuff that's bubbling around. Saturday was a bit like, oh my God, what a vibe. You know, when you wake up and you think, oh crikey. But I had to get up fairly early because Johnny Woodrow was going to be there around 10:30-ish. And I just wanted to kind of like, you know, be vaguely presentable. But in fact, things didn't kick off until a bit later on Saturday. you know, so basically it was during the day there was stuff. So that was good. And I'm trying to think of the order. So I mean, Nick, Miri, David Curtin were on. I think maybe David did come, you know, on the Saturday. Maybe he did come on the Saturday, not the Friday. Sorry. As I'm saying this, I'm like, oh, anyway, no one really cares, Ab. They just want the gist of the weekend, and they can always look at the running order themselves, because I haven't got my phones somewhere else. So it was like, it was a mad mix. He was there. Trevor, oh, for fuck's sake, I can't remember his surname. He was there as well. Sorry, I've had a complete... Honest to God, if you could see me, I'm like sitting here, I was like, I'm virtually horizontal. It's got the microphone kind of like perched. Oh, for fuck's sake, he's in my Telegram channel. Anyway, he was on, very, very good, doing comedy songs and straight songs. I think I'm doing a gig with Trevor on May the 18th as well at Hope Festival, which is good. Oh, because you know me, I'll be like, as soon as I've stopped doing the pod, I'll be like, oh, it's here, that's his surname, for fuck's sake. Anyway, you know who I mean. Somebody will write it in the chat anyway. So Saturday, and that Saturday was when I did my, and Phil was emceeing by this point. So Phil had gone to emceeing duties because I was doing after, so it must have been just before Nick and Johnny Vedmore, who turned up as well. I did my bit, which was basically a little bit of stand-up / storytelling / whatever you want to call it, which was talking about the Tom Harwood bit where on GB News where me and Francis appear behind him with the yellow boards, when he's broadcasting. So that was really good to set the scene for that because people had heard it the day before when I was talking to Sonia with Francis about all that. And then to see it like live actually happening GB News. So thank you, Jules, for sending me that, sending me the clip, the full clip, because I was able to edit it and go, oh my God, you can actually basically vaguely hear me saying, stop lying to the British public, Tom. So set the scene for the arrest and did a little bit about the arrest. In fact, quite a lot about the arrest because, once I'd got going, I was like, oh, I remember this bit. Oh, yeah, and that bit. And some bits I'd written, and a lot of it worked, actually, getting the laughs in various places, where it was like, oh, yes, I'd forgotten that. And Susie, the Greek cat, the made-up cat that I told to the police so I could have an excuse to get out. And then showed the Tom Harwood clip and then after that showed the Great Wall of Cunts, also with a bit of a setup for what it was. Not much of a lead up, but just kind of giving them, people the gist. And it was great watching it, on two big screens, or pretty big sort of TV screens. On either side, and it's just, and hearing the reaction from, it's the first time I'd ever played it live in front of a big group of people. So you can actually kind of hear people go, ooh, 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 boo, hiss, all that kind of stuff. So as the day progressed, I did four or five podcasts in amongst that day. So I was doing stuff. doing podcasts and then doing my bit. And then after that, doing another podcast and then just grabbing people and going, do you want to come in and do your, come in and do your bit. So Johnny Woodrow, did a podcast with him, did a podcast with Nick Cotton, did a podcast with Intel Lady, who's the character comedian, very, very funny, kind of into her whole, oh yeah, I'm an MI5, asset, I know things that you don't know, it's like really good. Who else did I do one with? Oh, crikey. Cause people are going to go, yeah, you remember you did. Oh, Scotty. It was fucking great. Wow. That was good. Yeah. I tried to grab as many people as possible, but I mean, it is quite limited because obviously they may want to stay and watch somebody on stage. So it's quite, but it was good because there was quite a lot of content, quite a lot of stuff, that I did. And, so that was good. And then in the evening, so let's fast forward to the evening. And like I said, if I've missed anyone off, talking about them being on the bill, it's because I haven't got it in front of me, so I can't fucking remember. Natalie and Trauma to Truth and Ella Thea and Johnny turned up on the Saturday. I've said that, haven't I? On the Saturday morning, so that was good because their car broke down on the Friday. I know, fucking, awful, broke down, so they couldn't get there to the Saturday. But in the evening was the comedy stand-up, you know, culminating in Andrew Lawrence, who was great, who was brilliant. He's just a wonderful comedian. I mean, it's really interesting because you... I was so knackered. I actually had to just go to bed at 10:30 because I was so tired by that point. I was like, oh my God, I can't focus anymore. I'm going to be no use to man nor beast if I stay here. I was like, rocking. What's interesting is watching Andrew, and it's brilliant. His craft, you know, you can see the, he's thought about it, has written it, all stuff about his daughter and, you know, sort of being a dad and sort of a bit sort of domestic stuff. And I was watching it going, God, that's really interesting. But in a weird way, it feels otherworldly, like it's not part. I don't know. I can't describe it. Everyone's going, well, try and describe it, Abs, because this is a podcast. Yeah, like it's dated, like it's like talking about stuff. I don't know, sort of humdrum, you know, domestic stuff, you know, stuff like, oh, you know, taking someone, just a kid to school and blah, blah. I don't know. It's difficult to explain. So sorry. I can't really find the words. It's like it's the old comedy, not the new stuff that people are, sort of fizzing about, going, oh yeah, oh, what's happening with you know, like I don't know, Kate or immigration, or I'm not saying everyone has to be political, or COVID, the vaccines, trans stuff, all that sort of stuff. It's really interesting. I don't know. Maybe sometimes people just don't want to fucking hear all that shit. So I could be wrong, but it was just interesting to think, to observe it. Maybe it's because I was tired as well. I was like, oh, I just can't. I've got no energy to laugh. Even though it was funny, and I did laugh a bit. I knew I just had to bail out, you know? So I went in and I crawled into my pit. I think I took out a couple of bags of crisps. That's the other thing as well. I did not eat that well, like crisps, you know, because it's a hotel. They don't have, it's not like you can actually there is a chippy nearby, but I just like, you know, I just didn't want to venture. It was a little bit cold and windy, so I was like a bit rainy. So went up and had me crisps in the room. And then there was a Nick Cotton was on the decks Saturday night. So it's like, oh God, no way. I don't know how anyone, mind you, having said that, when I say I don't know how anyone had the energy, to be fair, I had been multitasking pretty much from when my little tiny trotters hit the floor at East Midlands Parkway. But yeah, so that's why I'm kind of slightly like shell-shocked sounding. And then... So Saturday night was, great feedback from the day, from all the different, you know, all the different kind of people doing, Francis O'Neill did a talk, that was it, on the Saturday as well. So, you know, people were doing various things, people were asked to do stuff, you know, give talks or, you know, presentations about the state of the world, their thoughts on stuff. And it was just, like I said, really fascinating. And very warm feeling. It was that kind of nice, oh yeah, those people, yes. I've seen you before and, you know, I know you and, you know, blah, 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 and we've met before. And, you know, a few people sort of said, oh yeah, we met last year at Kegworth, or there was a very nice lady, Michelle, who is a police woman with, I think it's Yorkshire Constabulary, I think so, from what I remember. And very, very, very nice, and talked to me about the arrest and everything, and said it was all wrong, everything, including, by the way, I didn't know this, if you say you're claustrophobic, they shouldn't really put you in a cell, apparently, which is interesting, which I didn't know. But there was all sorts of, like, a, you know, the catalogue of stuff she was telling me. She was saying, oh, and then she said, oh, well, she said, Harry Miller's a good friend of mine, you know, Harry Miller, fair cop. And so she sent a photograph of me and her, you know, like the selfie. and that she'd taken with me. And Harry Miller sent a really nice note but message back, and it was like, he's such a nice guy, Harry and his wife Jules, also another Jules. Anyway, so let's fast forward a little bit. I'm trying to think if I've missed anything out. I don't think I have, because Saturday was kind of, yeah, was the big, what, you know, the big day, big night, and so much buzzing conversation. Jenka and Dave were there, and their daughter, is it India? I want to say India. I don't think it is, though. Sorry. Sorry, my memory is fucking terrible at the moment. Was there as well. And I don't think I've left anyone out. Probably have. Anyway, fuck it. You'll forgive me, won't you? And Saturday. So Sunday. Let's go to Sunday. Sunday was a bit like, oh, hello, everyone. Like, sort of like, oh, God. The Walking Dead. Walking around. Hello, everybody. Bloody hell. Actually, I had a bit more of a spring in my step because I'd got to bed quite early-ish. And Sunday there was, oh, more podcast. Did I do more? Yeah, I think I did more podcasts. What? Oh, no, maybe I did one more. Maybe I did Nick, an Intel lady, on the Sunday. I know I definitely did about five or six across the the weekend. I just can't remember everyone that I did it with. But I know they were great. I know they were really, all really enjoyable. And then there was a panel on Sunday, which was all the, that was kind of really the last thing. It was a panel of people, must have been about 1 o'clock. Miri, Nick Cotton, Johnny Vedmore, Francis O'Neill, and Sean, forgotten the surname, UNN. Shawnee, little Sean, who's on UNN. Is it Finch? I think it's Sean Finch, you know. Yeah, I think it fucking is. Bloody hell, it's a miracle. She's actually remembered her fucking surname. So they were on, and fascinating. Oh my God, everything about, oh, that was it. The sort of theme was controlled opposition or approved opposition. Sort of, what is it? What does it mean to people? And very, very fat. And I was in the front row going, wow, mind blown by a lot of stuff, and brilliant points made by everyone, you know, from coming from slightly different directions, different angles, not always agreeing on stuff. And then Andrew Bridgen came up, and there was a little bit of a kind of, oh, because there was a lady on the front row, perfectly entitled to her view, that basically said the thing about that, well, at least he's standing up now. And I was like, oh God, you know, he changed his mind or whatever, or, you know, and he's, and don't forget, he's vaccine injured. And it was one of those things where you just kind of go, and I did sort of say something like, well, it's not to do with science, all the vaccine stuff and everything he did. It's to do with moral, you know, moral integrity, nothing to do with the science changing. I mean, this is the thing with Bridgen, the science suited him before and after. So he was a scientist before, and that suited him. And then afterwards he went, well, it's the science that's telling me, it's the science that I'm looking at. I was like, well, then how does that work? It didn't happen when you were voting for all the fucking lockdowns and all the rest of it, and the masks and the fucking jabs. What, now all of a sudden, now all of a sudden it's a completely different, is it? Completely different science. Right, okay. Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in fucking Bridgen, but, you know, there were some good, you know, some funny moments, some laughs, actually, and about that. So, but all very, you know, nothing got really heated, or there was none of that at all. You know, I mean, when I did my bit, I mean, but then, like I said, it's my bit. You know, there was quite a lot of, you know, what a bunch of cunts. they should be arrested, you know, all that sort of stuff. Because that's what bubbles up in me. So I'm not going to edit that out either. And I don't think you would want me to, frankly, if I started being very polite and genteel about all the absolute raging bastards and traitors. Yeah. So Sunday we basically just kind of, everyone said their farewells. Saturday night, I forgot to tell you, Johnny Woodrow, Natalie, Trauma's Truth, Johnny, her husband, and me, we all went back to their room with Elithia and Boo, the dog. and chatted through truth, goodness and beauty and and some plans that we have and ideas for moving it forward. Yes. Yes. So lots of juices flowing, lots of, you know, ideas. So that was great. So absolutely just fizzing with ideas and decided to stay over Sunday. So said goodbye to everyone, hugged everyone goodbye. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye. Okay. Great to see you again. And then everyone sort of pretty much petered out on Sunday and then Monday. So I stayed over last night and had a Chinese with the boys. Had a Chinese, which was lovely, with Wayne O'Charlotte and the Pushback AV boys. So that's pretty much it. And then cut to today when I'm like, bloody, when I woke up, I was like, oh, okay, I'm still here. It was funny because I was just such a Charlotte. Bloody hell, why don't we just move in? Why don't we just go back next week? Go back next week and just have a weekend in Kegworth. Because it is I felt very sad coming on the train on the way back. You know, Charlotte gave me a lift and Wayne as well to the station. He was going to Nottingham and then on to Newport. And then Charlotte was going back to where she lives up north. And it was like, oh, bye. And as Charlotte drove away, I got the lower lip tremble, because it's, you know, oh, it's just difficult to explain. You know, you're around people and you're it's all sort of it just feels very new and exciting and like the enlightenment, like I imagine it would have been with groups of people. You see, this is why they need to start teaching fucking proper history in schools, because like I imagine it would have been with various groups of people, whoever they are, who are doing new things, who are doing things that involve critical thinking and enlightened ideas and keeping the sacred, keeping the ideas of truth, goodness and beauty, which I will do another time because it's 47 minutes. Bloody hell, I've gone on forever. But people who were absolutely, I don't know, hell-bent on preserving those three things. And when you're with a group of people who don't necessarily know that, so in that room or in the, you know, milling about, but there was a feeling that that you know, can't necessarily vocalize it, but something is really shifting and it's very, very exciting to be part of it. But not in a kind of performative, oh, blah, look, you know, oh, look at me, or, oh, isn't it just exciting because it's drama. It's actually exciting because we're going to change things for the people that come after us, for the next generation of people. And even if people don't know that consciously, that is what's happening. That's why it's exciting. That's why Kegworth is vital and other meetings like it. But I have to say, there's only one Kegworth. We'll always have Kegworth. When I said that, it was like, it's like we'll always have Paris. I remember when I said that to Charlotte, I think it was last year, when I went, we'll always have Kegworth. It's been like we'll always have Paris, and then suddenly it's like it's on a postcard. We'll always have. I'm looking at it now. We'll always have Kegworth. So that's it, guys. That's it. I'm spent. My voice. I can't do any more. You're probably thinking, yeah, just as well, because it's fucking nearly fucking 50 minutes. It's because I haven't done one for ages, so I'm going to get it all out. And I think if I've forgotten things, sorry, there was a lot going on, as you know, but it was, like I said, lots of speakers, lots of great thinkers, lots of great, just fascinating stuff, really. People speaking, and like I said, it's going to be out. The recording's going to be out, and I believe the podcasts are going to be out, or at least clips. I'm hoping in full, and clips therein to share on distortion media, because we need to get, you know, when the next Kegworth comes, we need people coming to it, because this is where the ideas are born, everyone. The good ideas, you know. You don't want to miss out on that. You don't want to say, oh, if only I was there. Oh, I wasn't there when all that happened. Oh, fuck. Don't want to do that. Definitely not. And very reasonable and very, you know, just a great atmosphere. I can't tell you. It's just, you know, like I said, trust me, I wouldn't bother if it wasn't fucking fantastic to be around. So that is the end of Depard. The end of Depard. And I will be I'll be back tomorrow as usual with Abby Daly. Thank you for sticking by me, and you know, when I had the kind of slight with the TNT, but you know, all's good. It's all good. Nothing but positive. I feel very, very excited about things bubbling under the surface for the future. That's for sure. And you know something, when you do things which feel right in your bones, it's difficult to feel dejected, or because if you're sure of things, if things sit right with you, it's much, much easier than to feel positive about going forward. Whereas if you're slightly compromised or thinking, then that's all you're going to be thinking about. You're not going to be thinking about anything positive. You'll just be focusing on the fucking negative. Anyway, that is it, everyone. That is it. See you tomorrow. I just keep thinking to myself, have I forgotten to mention anyone who was there? Probably have. But you know what? I'll just say, just so I cover everyone, it was so lovely to see all of you. Even the people, if I can't remember part of your names, I fucking love you all. Even little Carol. Even Carol with the sticks. I'm going to tell Oracle Phil that. Because she appeared at Jam for Freedom. Anyway, love you all. Thank you all. You know, it was great to speak to you. If I spoke to you. And I will see you tomorrow, hopefully with more of a voice. God bless you all. Here comes the outro. Sweet home. I'm gonna have to start again. Sorry. Do 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 do. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. Be seeing you.